following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, good to Damon Day with you on this, yes, first Tuesday of October. It's the 7th, but it's the first Tuesday. What's up, man?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
I'm okay. I'll give you an okay on this Tuesday. We got a lot of college stuff to talk about today, and Damon's going to take me to task for the Huskers a little bit later on. Plus, again, if you don't know Damon, he's the Loper baseball coach, but he's been on the show quite a bit. I forget to do that from time to time to say who all has been in. I just, you know, hey, we know who they are. But Damon, we're going to talk a little baseball, too, because American League setting off, waiting for Friday. National League, they are hammering it out, and they will play again today, and we've got a doubleheader. Here on ESPN Radio, we will start 3:30 pregame, and then the Dodgers and Cardinals at 4:07, and that'll be followed by the Nationals and the Giants. Coming up on the show today, Tuesdays, it's our college football talk with Daryl Morris, UNK, Tony Harper, Hastings College. Also going to slide in Matt Buttermore, Hastings volleyball coach, talk about the Broncos match coming up tomorrow and where they're at. They hit a little rumble bar in the road here a couple of weeks ago, and they seem to have righted that to fix the tires and hopefully headed towards a big run here in the second half of the conference season. But the Cardinals. And I'm reminded again of it this morning. You know, how about them Cardinals? I'm serious right now. I don't give a damn. I'm rooting for the Royals. And I know there's Cardinal fans out there. And here's what I hope from that perspective. I mean, it's not mean-spirited or anything like that, but don't, you know, hey, Cardinal fan, hey, Royal fan, don't. Don't. Let's just worry about your team getting to the World Series or wherever you want them to go. There's no need to be throwing hand grenades across the darn river at each other going, dear. We've been here, Cardinal fans. Yeah.
I agree with that one. I mean, there's a long road to hoe before, you know, St. Louis is going to have their hands full tonight with Kershaw and the Dodgers. I think he's 69-1 when he's gotten 4-plus runs, and so that one loss was the last start. So understand that he's on 3 days rest. But I think it just goes to show you in baseball, they talk about baseball is not really a momentum sport because it kind of is a slower game and it's a pitch-by-pitch game. But I think it does go to show you how much momentum is a big deal because the Orioles snatched momentum from the Tigers and just rolled with it. The Royals snatched some momentum from the Angels and just kept it going. The San Francisco series and the San Francisco National Series as well as the Dodgers-Cardinals series, it's been more back and forth. You know, the Tigers never responded really to the Orioles, and the Angels never really responded in a big way versus the Royals, and that's why I think both teams advanced. But with the Nationals and the San Francisco series, you know, yesterday the Nationals showed up and did their thing and did what they knew it needed to do. They took advantage of a throwing error. But really, the Cardinals and the Dodgers series, there seems to be a little bad blood, which is always makes it nice. You got some very, very strong personalities for the Dodgers, and that's why I think you just really start to root if you're anyone like me, you just start really rooting for the Cardinals even more so. I mean, I don't know how Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball, is the leader of that and allows his players to be that way. And that's something that's stunning to me, and I guess I don't understand pro baseball all the way when it comes to a managerial standpoint, but his name is Donnie Baseball, and he allows his guys to go about acting like that. It, to me, it's just a very weird dynamic that I...
Yeah, but you can't control Puig.
No, but just think if he would have. Just think how good Puig would be if he wasn't into to being... I mean, I understand what you're saying from the standpoint of you can't try to control his greatness and all that type of stuff. But if he could, if Don Mattingly just held Puig to a accountability of being a professional, how much better would the...
I don't think Puig gets it yet, does he?
No, that's what I'm saying is I'm surprised that he hasn't, that Mattingly hasn't done more with it. Mattingly just, and I don't, like I said, I don't know behind the scenes and all that type of stuff. He just seems to be very aloof, almost very much like, hey, I hate these guys too, so...
What's the most surprise? And again, let's not forget, the Royals were a lot of Royal fans gave up on the Royals. They're down 7-3 going to the eighth inning of the wild card game. All of a sudden, they come back, they sweep, and things are going. That's kind of the makeup of a team that, of destiny. But what's the most surprising thing out of these four series to you from a baseball standpoint?
The Royals.
Are they?
Okay. The Royals. I mean, to knock on fate's door. You know, to come back from 7-3 and then be down 8-7 and then to come back 9-8, I mean, that's just really unheard of. You know, so then they get to the Angels, and that's where I talk about momentum. The Angels got steamrolled. I mean, the Royals are just playing with a belief right now. Even when the first two games went to extra innings, the Royals knew they were going to win. And that's the thing that's scary right now if you're Buck Showalter and the Orioles is the Royals believe. The Orioles got to be scared because right now, the Royals, no matter what, they think that they're the team that no matter what they do, they're the team of destiny. They're the Cinderella story. They're going on all the way and going to do this thing. And sometimes that belief that you have that is more important than skill. You know, it's the old will over skill type of thing. And so I think it's very important for the Orioles, if they're going to want to stop this freight train, it is going to be very important for them to go out and get game number one and do not let the Royals hang around. And that's something that the Angels never did. The Angels never just got momentum on their side. They never got a 3 or 4 run lead. And so that's probably my biggest surprise is definitely the Orioles. I think the fact that Detroit not only did not play great, but did not pitch great. And, I mean, obviously everybody knows that, you know, I know Jabba and yeah, those types of things.
Just transition right into that because I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean.
He got a bad break in game two, and then.
He had the air, and then from the mindset of a standpoint of a bullpen, those guys live in the frying pan all season long. And obviously is at a bigger stage and nobody wants – but that's what those guys get paid to do. And so, you know, I have not had the opportunity to talk with them yet since the end of it, but I read some newspaper articles about how it's, you know, it's time to turn on and become a dad and those types of things. For those relievers, that's it's harder to be a starter. It truly is because you have to wait 5 days. Those guys know they blew it. That's their job, but – they'll get back after in spring training and try to figure out some other ways to be successful. And that's how relievers started to work. The problem is that Ausmus didn't have any other options. You start putting guys in different scenarios. They didn't have really what you'd call as a fireman. You know, everybody was supposed to start an inning and finish an inning. But the Tigers don't have a fireman, a guy that, okay, this has got first and second. I can come in and do some type of stuff to get a guy out of a jam. And let's face it, for the poor.
Is that supposed to be Jabba?
No.
Okay.
Jabba's supposed to be the eighth inning guy. He's supposed to get a clean one. And if he doesn't get a clean one, you see what happens. And that's what I mean. Instead of having a fireman, they go to Soria, who's a clean inning guy who has, you know, and when we're talking about a fireman type of guy, you're talking about a Rosenthal from St. Louis. You're talking about a Martinez from St. Louis. You're talking about a Hoffman from the Royals. You're talking about straight up, here's mine, and it's going to beat yours. And there's not many of those fire. I mean, we're talking Orlandis Chapman from Cincinnati. That's what Detroit lacked. That's really what you know, the Yankees kind of lacked this year from a closing standpoint. It's what, if you look at what made the Royals so successful, they have a true fireman who is, hey, if my breaking pitch isn't on, here's my three fastballs, I'm going to beat you type of thing. And so that's what really Detroit lacks. That's what the Dodgers lack. You know, Brian Wilson's not Brian Wilson anymore.
No.
I mean, that was, it was almost sad to see him throw yesterday, you know, spinning 89-mile-an-hour cutters and 82-mile-an-hour changeups, which are phenomenal, but everybody remembers he used to bring it in. And, you know, he started the goddamn thing and, you know, pumping 98, 99. And so from a pitching standpoint, that's what the Dodgers lack. That's what made Detroit susceptible. Look at Britton coming in for the Orioles. Hey, here's 97, 98. Touch it. See what you can kind of do with it. And it's a dangerous game. It's fire because if you get it, you don't have to square up 97 to be perfect.
Good contact.
Yeah, but so I think that's why you're starting to see those teams with that overpowering fastball. Kimbrel from Atlanta brings a great when he's on. No, he's untouchable type of thing. So I think that's why you're starting to see these teams try to shake out a little bit. You know, what's very interesting is that neither Nationals nor San Francisco have that true closer. San Francisco's got Sergio Romo, who has been demoted, and they've gone back and forth. But what they got is great middle relief type of thing. They got great one inning guys. And so it's a very interesting postseason from a true baseball standpoint.
More baseball talk coming up because, hey starter, go eight. And quit giving me this, God, we hope we can get him through five. That's, in my opinion, part of the problem, too. Yeah, you got a million guys that you can bring in. You had a million guys 30 years ago, too. Let's get a starter that can efficiently go seven innings. Yeah. I don't need a sixth-inning guy, a seventh-inning guy, an eighth-inning guy. That's too many guys. Somebody's going to have a problem if they're out there almost every day, as opposed to the starter who's out there every 5 or 6 days. So 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll see if we get some Game 5s in the National League Division Series. If that does take place, those games will be held on Thursday. Tomorrow will just be a quiet day. There will be no baseball. There will be no football. It's going to be a weird Wednesday.
Shame.
It's a weird Wednesday.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it's nice to have
I love having a baseball game.
And especially early evening, yeah. You know, and it's great to have afternoon baseball, especially yes. If you're busy working, you can listen to it on the radio. If you get off work early or whatever your situation is, you can watch it a little bit. So it's all fun, but I still haven't determined, is the baseball in the National League more exciting, or is the American League, and again, because the Royals won, maybe everybody wants to say the American League, but it was pretty fun watching some of those games. Don't forget, folks, that the Chicken Coop is your original sports bar and grill, and the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop downtown. They want to save you a little money for lunch, which is served every day from 11 to 4. And on Tuesdays, that's the salad of your choice and a soda for only $7. As I say every Tuesday when we talk about the salads, this isn't just, you know, some little plate with some stuff on it. This is chicken salad. This is your grilled chicken. You can get the sauces on it. You can get taco salad. There are many to choose from. And if you don't want the lunch special, of course, a great menu to choose from. Bone-in, boneless chicken wings. There's burgers. There's pizza. There's great sandwiches, prime rib sandwiches. You can get a steak. You can get some fish. They have a full array on their menu. But lunch is every day from 11 to 4. And don't forget appetizer specials, 2 to 5:30, 2 and a quarter. Long necks and draws, 2 and a quarter as well during that time. Only at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. Well, the UNK football team, some of them, captains, got another life experience yesterday, Damon. They were up at the hospital, and I noticed that they weren't just up at Good Sam handing out mini footballs and giving them to the babies. Darryl Morris, some of these big fellows looked like they enjoyed holding some of the small kids. Any thoughts, any talk about that at practice yesterday?
No, well, we didn't have practice yesterday, so we haven't had an opportunity to see what the fellows think about the pictures of the guys holding a couple of twins, I think. But, you know, they did a great job up there, and they were well received. And I think they brightened up some days for some folks that weren't feeling that well. And I think it was a good experience for everybody involved.
Sometimes we jump in with both feet and are looking at athletics and get so involved. We know that this goes on every day or every week for every athletic program. So the kids, they seem to enjoy it when they get a chance to go out and be part of the community.
They do, and they do a great job. They're great ambassadors of UNK, and they're great ambassadors of themselves and the football program. And they just do a nice job, and people people receive them very well, and it's a good experience for them to understand. If you want people to be interested in what you're doing, then you need to be interested in what other people are doing as well.
And I guess for a moment or two, it kind of takes their mind off the sport. Sometimes the guys or gals, whatever the case may be, kind of need that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a diversion for them, and it does it teaches them a lot of things about life. And one of the things that we do want our kids to grow up to be when they get done with athletics and get done with school is to be good community, you know, helpers. Be involved in a church, be involved in Little League, be involved in soccer league, you know, be a Cub Scout master or whatever it might be. So we want them to be involved in things, and we want them to give back to the communities, and this is a great way to teach them how to do that.
Talk with UNK football coach Daryl Morris here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming off, I'm sure, Coach, probably the most disappointing game that you guys have had this year. The word has been competitive and getting better each and every week, and it was, maybe a slap in the face. There's all kinds of ways that this can be put out there, but it was not what you were looking for Saturday.
No, we didn't have a whole lot of good luck on Saturday, and we didn't play very well. The game started out poorly for us and pretty much went downhill from there. We did a lot of things to hurt ourselves, and as I talked to the kids, as I talked to the team on Sunday, this is a process, and with every process there's going to be good days and bad days, and there's going to be peaks and valleys, and this just was not our day. I mean, we could not buy any luck. I mean, we fumble the ball, we throw interception. We get a penalty that calls back a touchdown on a kickoff return. We just did not have a good day. And if you go into this long-term process of trying to build a program that's going to be competitive in this league, there are going to be days like this. And if you understand that, it doesn't make it any easier, and it doesn't mean you like it and you don't want to like it. And you want it to grind on you and kind of give you a stomach ache, but you go into it knowing that there are going to be days like that, then that makes it easier to get on with the next week and get ready for the next challenge, and that's what we're doing.
Loper football coach Daryl Morris with us, as he is every Tuesday during the football season here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As I watched and listened to the football game, it didn't seem, but I want to ask you, after you watched film, it didn't seem like the guys were forcing the issue, trying to get that first win, and that's what created the turnovers, but was that the case?
No, I don't think so. You know, we had Pete Trausch got called on two aggressive play penalties, which, you know, I don't agree with the calls, but, you know, they were called, and that's just the way the game is, that's the way it works. So, I'm not going to get after Pete because he was playing hard, and he was doing what we coach him to do, and he got a couple penalties for that. So, you know, I don't think, you know, the play where Romero Cotton fumbled the ball was just, hey, you got to tip your hat. The kid made a good play. Romero's going down. He's falling forward. He's got the ball pretty well secured, and the guy just comes from behind as he's tackling Romero and swings his arm and punches the ball out. Sometimes they got good players too, and sometimes good players make good plays. And some of them were that, and then some of them were just, you know, inopportune mistakes on our part. And even the penalty that called the kickoff return back, I don't agree with the call. I thought the kid was playing hard. I thought it was a good block on his part. I thought he was running his feet the way he's coached. But, hey, that's just the way it goes.
And penalties really hadn't been a problem this year.
No, I mean, we were the least penalized team in the league up until Saturday. I don't know where that puts us now. But, you know, I mean, we had been pretty good about that. But everything just kind of snowballed on us. You know, the kickoff return right out of the gate, and then they score. And we did a nice job of answering that. We drove down the field. We're going to line up, kick a field goal. Kid makes a mistake on a blocking assignment, and they block it. And, you know, it just was not our day, and we realized that, and you got to get over. You know, you got to, back in the days when we used to win 11 games a year, you got to get over your wins like you got to get over your losses, and that's what we're doing.
You mentioned, and one of the quotes was, statistics are for losers. You looked at this board, and you go in at halftime, and you're running the ball well, and you're hanging with them in that category. What was going on in the halftime locker room?
Well, we were just trying to, you know, we were just trying to calm them down a little bit and say, hey, look, man, if you take this away and you take that away and you take this away, I mean, this isn't a 28-0 football game. You know, at the very least, it's 21-7. Or it's 21-10, and we're right in this game. So, you know, we got to calm down a little bit. We got to quit hurting ourselves. We got to quit making the mistakes that seem to be, you know, allowing them to take advantage of what we're doing. And you got to tip your hat. Every time we made a mistake, they made us pay for it, and that's a sign of a good football team.
Romero Cotton continues to tote the rock for you. You mentioned the fumble, which obviously unfortunate, but he's over 100 yards, and he has definitely been a workhorse.
He has been a workhorse. You know, and Romero, in his time with us, he's not what I would call a fumbler. And one of our coaches mentioned, you know what, coach, there's guys that make millions of dollars in the NFL that fumble every week. So, you know, again, it was a good play by their defender. He punched like he's taught to do, and he happened to put his fist right on the football, and it knocked it right out, right to one of their guys that was standing in the end zone, and, you know, turnover. So, you know, you don't bring it up. You don't talk about it. You don't have to overcoach it because the guy, you know, he's good with security with the football.
Last minute here with Darrell Morris. Injury-wise, how did we come out of the game?
Not great. I don't want to name specific guys, but, you know, the season is starting to mount on us a little bit, and we've lost some key guys perhaps for this week's game and maybe another week's game. But, hey, that's athletics and that's football, and everybody at this stage of the year, you know, you start getting guys that aren't 100%, you get some guys that can't play, and that's we're just like everybody else in the country that's playing this game.
Coach Damon Day here, and you're going to one of the more booming metropolises in the MIAA in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, to take on Northeastern State, who's 0-5. What's your message to your team this week in preparation to go down there?
Well, the message is, again, you got to get over your loss. I mean, fellas, what else do we have to do but get ready for our next football game? We got to, you know, it's not necessarily that we need to work harder, but we need to play smarter. We still have not put together a team football game yet. We haven't played well offensively and defensively at the same time right now. So, you know, we've done it for a half, but we haven't done it for a whole game. So we continue to analyze the little things, talk about the little things, and you know, to some of it, Damon, and you know this. We also have to help them with their psyche a little bit. You know, I mean, they are 0-5, and they understand that, and people are saying things about them, and they read that, and so you got to make sure that they're staying focused, and you got to make sure that they know what the process is and what they're trying to do, and the obstacles that they're trying to climb over, and you can't worry about what people say. You just got to keep your nose to the grindstone.
And Northeastern, Darrell has a pretty darn good wide receiver in Garrett Powell.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they got a decent defense too. I mean, you know, and maybe that's just our paranoia now. But everybody we look at on film, man, they look good. So I think it's a football game that we can win. We're going to have to play well. Hopefully, the injuries that we have right now won't come back and be a big deal about it. But it's certainly we're preparing this week like we're going down to win a football game.
All right, Darrell, we won't pry any more into the injury situation. We'll just wish you guys the best of luck, and we'll talk again next Tuesday, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Darrell. Darrell Morris, head football coach at UNK. Somebody's got to win Saturday. I think that's even tougher sometimes, more pressure.
Yeah.
Because you know somebody gets off the schneid, and if it's not you, then the old young college brain really starts to melt.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult one for me because I know how hard Coach Morris works. I know how much the program means to him, and to me, there's not a guy I support more. And what they're going through is tough. But you know, my response to everything is, Coach Morris has won conference titles. He just didn't forget how to coach the last 2 years. It's in a different league. We're in a different process. He's been handed the deck, and he's working as hard as he possibly can to bring the program along. But we were behind when we transferred from the MIAA to the RMAC. We were behind big time. Like, people don't even understand how far behind the university is. And we're making strides, and the football program is making strides. But they had the toughest road to hoe of any sport during this transition.
Yeah, no doubt.
because the MIAA is the best Division II football conference in the country, hands down, bar none, and that's just not coach speak. Look it up for yourself. This football staff has won conference titles before. They've been to the NCAA playoffs. They didn't all of a sudden forget how to coach. That's not. We are in a resource game right now where we are building up our resources to match other MIAA schools, and Dr. Polinsky is doing a phenomenal job with that. I think everybody needs to relax and take a deep breath and understand that the process is moving along as fast as processes like this go, and all the negativity and everything else isn't doing anybody any good. It's support. That's what the Kearney community is about, and that's what we need to be about. And they're going to go to Tahlequah this weekend, and they're going to compete and hopefully get a W, because I know that that staff, and more so than anything, I know a majority of those student-athletes on that team deserve it. And that, like I said, that's a completely biased. I am part of the UNK athletic department. Coach Morris is a personal friend. He's been a mentor to mine. So if it sounds like I'm defending him, you're damn right I am. So, and it doesn't need to be defended, because there's not a coaching staff that works as hard as they do, and they're going to get there. They're going to get this program to where it's competitive in the MIAA, no doubt in my mind.
It makes them physically ill. They're staying up extra times. You know, it's think about your own job if things aren't going well. So we wish them the best of luck, and a kickoff Saturday is set for 1 o'clock. It's a different sort of challenge for Hastings and Coach Tony Harper. It's time for number one to roll into town again. Morningside comes in. Can they score with them? Because we know they're not going to stop them. And that's not a knock on Hastings' defense. Nobody has stopped Morningside. We'll talk with the coach next.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some breaks of sunshine developing as we enter the day today, with a high up in the mid-70s. Northwest winds will stay at about 10 to 15. Now, with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll dip back to 45. I'm Paul Trablay. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Like them on Facebook. They've got lots of giveaways. They're always helping out the community. You can find out more about how you can help, how you can go to Midway and help them help the community, like what's going on during October, the fight against breast cancer. Test drive any Chevrolet in October, and they'll contribute $10 towards the American Cancer Society making strides against breast cancer program. And if you know how many are test drove every day, that's a lot. That's a big contribution from your Midway Auto dealerships, who are continuing to expand, and they are looking for product specialists, customer service reps, and technicians among the many jobs that are opening up as they continue to expand. You can see the full list of jobs and even apply online. Find out more about each one. Maybe something works for you. Maybe you're ready for that new career. Maybe you want to join the professional team at Midway. Go online to midwaycareers.com. Everybody likes that privacy. Everybody likes to know, hey, I don't need to let my current employer know what's going on, or I don't need to let the world know what's going on. I'm just going to go here. I'm going to look at midwaycareers.com. I don't have to even go into Midway and go, oh, well, that's not what I wanted. Or you can go, hey, yeah, and jump up and down, jump up and down.
And you get a discount if you work there?
Possibly. Possibly.
I can work an hour a month. Do I get full employee discount?
Go to midwaycareers.com. Midwaycareers.
Sorry if I interrupted that read.
No, that's good stuff. Midway Auto Dealerships. Yikes. Evidently, when they put a roof on, things speed up, and you score lots of points. Tony Harper, head coach, Hastings College. Tone, I was driving back on the road early on Saturday, and I turned in my man, Mike Will, and Jimmy Purcell, because I'd do that anyway. But when he said it was 21-21, I said, God, I thought this game kicked off at 1 o'clock. What happened, man? Good morning.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of defense on that game, and I tell you what, you talk about getting excited. I think I got warned about four or five times from the officials for being out past the numbers almost to the hash. So it was definitely an entertaining, fast-paced game.
This had everything in the first half. I think it calmed down a little bit. You guys, when you scored right before halftime and then came out in the third quarter and got that more than a one-score lead and extended it to, I believe, 49-32 at the time and kind of calmed things down a little bit, you righted the ship. But, boy, conversely, as we talked with Coach Morris at halftime, heads had to be spinning, kids ejected, penalties, all this scoring, trying to figure out how to stop what Briarcliff is doing. Where was his staff at? Where were the kids at half?
Well, at half, you know, to be quite honest with you, the guys were just kind of looking around for answers. And what we tried to do in all three phases of it was to get the guys to calm down a little bit. You know, again, like I said last week going into this game, it was going to be a shock for some of these guys because it was actually a roof over the playing field. And I don't know if that's what was bothering them or what, but we got in there at halftime and we made a couple slight adjustments from a defensive standpoint to hopefully put us in a better position, tried to calm the guys down a little bit. But there was a lot of mental mistakes in that first half. The third quarter was a really good football game in all three phases for us. But that first half, man, it was uphill, downhill, sideways. We were going all over the place.
Yeah, 31 straight points by the Broncos there to start the second half to get this thing put away at 59-32. So you got to be pleased with the offense. And defensively, Coach, you said this is what you guys had coming in, and you're trying to get better each and every week. Briarcliff had a couple of big plays in this football game. But let's start with the defense. They did come out in the second half and do the job.
They did. You know, they tackled better. We really simple, and I know I told you guys going into the season that the playbook was simplified. Well, it's rudimentary now. I mean, we're not even counting to three. We're counting to one, sometimes two. We've limited this playbook, and I think it's allowed the guys to play faster. For the first time this year, we've had multiple turnovers. I think we got four turnovers, took one of them back for a touchdown, which was a big momentum shift for us, and we just got to continue to get better because that's way too many points. You know, again, I'm not a stats guy, so I don't really worry too much about the yards and all that other stuff. I look at third down. I look at red zone. Our red zone was a little bit better because we kept them out of the red zone because we let them score from 30 and farther out. So we got to do a lot of cleaning up there. But the guys, they rallied to the football. They caused turnovers. They moved around a little bit. It's getting a little bit better, but we got a lot more preparation to do.
Romero Flores got the job done on the ground. We've been talking a lot about Matt Overmiller, and he had a solid game, but Romero gets into the end zone four times.
You know, and I think a lot of that credit obviously goes to Romy, but our offensive line, we were starting a new right guard or a new guard due to an injury, and Sam Morris, big offensive lineman from North Platte, came out and had a pretty solid game for us. But our offensive line right now, you know, we're not, like I said, we're not the biggest, but we can get up to the second level, and they're doing a great job with that. And I think from an offensive coach's standpoint, those guys on that side of the ball really mixing the run pass with their wristbands. They're doing a good job, good calls over there. The guys are buying into it. Receivers are blocking hard downfield. Usually sometimes you get into a situation where those guys really aren't a physical group just because that's kind of what they are. But this crew of guys, Coach Kamara's got them blocking hard, and they're getting after it to spring, you know, Matt Overmiller and Roby on some of those big runs. So it's a collective group over there, and they're doing a good job feeding off each other.
Coach, you get number one coming in this week, but we take a look at your injury situation as well. How'd you come out of the game?
You know, we think fairly well. We had a couple guys. We had two starters that didn't play in the game, but they're going to be back hopefully for this week. We just got the normal nicks and bumps and bruises that you got on week six or whatever week this is of the season. You know, they're fairly healthy, and a lot of that credit goes to what the guys are eating, how they're taking care of their body, how they're getting to the training room, and our strength coordinator with Coach Schultz. I mean, that's been a huge, huge factor for us this year, and we just got to continue to approach everything like that.
What happened on the ejection, and how does that affect what you guys do this week?
You know, first off, it was the right call. I didn't, believe it or not, I didn't argue. I didn't even throw my headsets. I was as calm as could be because I thought I had.
No, I think he just threw his headset.
I think he's still upset about it. I think it's one of those things as coaches, he was not telling the truth, so they just. he was upset about it.
Somebody unplugged his phone?
Yeah.
We will try and re-effort head coach Harper here because we do want to get a couple comments on Morningside here in just a minute as we re-up with Coach Harper. But scoring a 59 points and a 59-46 win over Briar Cliff on Saturday.
Is it me or does it just seem like offense is exploding at every level of football? You know, it's kind of one of those things to where I always equate to you know, in baseball, when they went to the high strike in Major League Baseball, they went, hey, we're going to call a high strike. That year in college baseball, everything was high strike. This year, the NFL has said, hey, no touching. We're going to try to promote as much offense as possible. It seems like at every level of football, the offensive scoring is at a level that I have not recalled. I mean, 56 points, you talk about just the scoring overall seems to be extraordinarily high.
We're going to take a break and try and catch up with Coach Harper and finish that out. Matt Buttermore, a little volleyball, and a little more on the Huskers because Damon wants to bring me to task. It's all coming up next.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit the Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Hastings, Minden, and Roseland today.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show. See, I thought Tony Harper was headed off to Bronco Talk because they've got that today at Valentino's there in Hastings, probably stuffing some pizza in his face. Is that what's going on, Coach?
I'm going to be stuffing a lot of pizza in my face, and I want to make it a point to prove I was not angry and I did not throw the phone on this on that play on Saturday or during this conversation, just so we're clear on that.
Well, does that mean miss a game this week? What's the rule?
What's that?
I said, does he have to miss the game this week? What's the rule?
No, the rule is on the targeting penalty, he gets ejected for that half, and because it happened in the first half, he has to set for the second half of that game, and then he will be cleared to play for this game this weekend.
Good enough. You ask him. I don't want to ask him. You ask him, Damon.
About what?
Who they got next week.
Oh, thanks, Doug. You got the number one team in the country. I've been there. We've all been there and gotten to play those top teams, and it's an exciting week. How do you get them process-oriented to not get too overhyped and then kind of pewter out as the week goes on? How do you keep them focused all the way through so they can play their best on Saturday?
Well, I think a lot of it falls on us as coaches and how we present it and how we handle ourselves when we're watching film, when we talk about the game plan. 2 years ago, when we went into this game, we were undefeated and 13th in the nation, and they were in the top five. And we as coaches played it up probably too much, and that falls squarely solely on my shoulders. Last year was last year. This year, what we've told the guys, we brought him in, and so we said, this is who we're playing. Everybody knows who we're playing. Everybody knows where they're at. But now let's focus on what we got to do to be successful in this game. And you're talking about the process, Coach. That's exactly what it is. Today at our morning practice, we never said the name. We said, this is what they're going to do to us. This is what we're going to see. This is the type of player that this guy is and that guy is. Here's our fits. We got to make sure we do our job. And we believe and we hope that the guys are embracing that. And we'll just roll with it and see what happens. I had a couple guys say, well, we got to do this and this because it's Morningside week. I go, guys, this is no different than any other week. It's a game on Saturday. Yes, I understand they're number one. Yes, I understand they're the defending conference champion. But it doesn't matter if we don't know what we're doing. So let's go out there and really focus on what we're doing, and hopefully things will work out.
Coach, in all reality, you're going to have to score with these guys. They haven't played the nation's best in their first four games, but they're definitely rolling up the points. Can you score with these guys? Talk about their defense.
Their defense in their offense throughout the past 4, 5, 6 years has always got a lot of the credit, a lot of the press, and rightfully so, because they're putting up, just look at some of their scores this year. They put up over 80, they put up over 70, they put up over 60 a couple times. They're as dynamic as anybody. But the thing, and I'm a defensive guy, so obviously I'm going to talk a little bit about them, but the thing that they do over there is they just play so fast. They play so physical. They run two fronts, maybe three if you're doing some things to them. They're going to run two or three coverages, tops, and they're going to come after you. And that's what I firmly believe is why they're so successful on defense. They're not all over the place. They don't have 10, 15 different coverages and all these line movements and everything like that. They understand their fit. They get there extremely fast, and they play with their hands. They never overshoot their gap or undershoot it. Everybody feeds off of each other, and that defense is as good as it comes from a sound standpoint and how hard they play. That's the bottom line in football and basically any other sport, how hard you play. If you play harder than the guy you're going against, you're going to be successful, and that's what they do exceptionally well.
And, Tony, if this is a high-scoring game, kick returns could be big. Get yourself some field position so you don't have to go 70, 80 yards every time you got the football. Where do you feel you're at? I can look at the yardage. I can look at what's getting done here. Where do you feel you're at in that spot?
We really reevaluated special teams this week, to be honest with you. We've You know, you go back to the Dome week, their punter just coffin kicking it and corner kicking it on us, I mean, and putting it down at the two-yard line. I mean, that's just a great kicker doing his job. But what we've got to be sounder on is we've got to be sound on our cover unit. We're getting out of our lanes a little bit too much. Their return man, Devin Thomas, and this is the truth for the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's one of the top guys in the nation. We got to understand, we got to contain this guy. We got to squeeze the pocket. We got to decrease the running lanes for him. We got to get off blocks. We can't be covering and trying to, okay, this is what this guy's going to do to me. No, this is my lane. This is my conversion point. This is what I have to do. And that's, it's going to be a big challenge for us this week because, again, their special teams is a lot like their defense. They don't do anything flashy. They don't do a bunch of fakes. They don't do this. They got a lot of ones and twos out there, and they just play harder and play faster. And we got to be able to kick the ball where we need to kick it. We got to be able to squeeze it when we need to squeeze it. And we're going to have to protect it when we got to punt.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to working for Morningside, and we'll be listening and watching. They come in, and let's have a festive crowd Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks for the call.
Take care. Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College Broncos, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of Hastings talk today. Nolan Laux of Hastings High is going to sign with the Bronco wrestling program this afternoon. He gave them their first high school wrestling champion since 1997, also has second and third place medals from the state tournament, getting ready for his senior year. So Nolan Laux staying home for new head coach Mike Shadwinkle. We'll talk with Coach Matt Buttermore here a little volleyball in a moment, but first our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you which college football upset was the most surprising over the weekend, and 50% said Arizona being Oregon. Also TCU over Oklahoma and Ole Miss over Alabama were next in line as far as your voting. We ask you today about the American League Championship Series. Orioles in 4 or 5, 6 or 7, or do you get the Royals taking it in 4 or 5, 6 or 7? Vote now at ESPNSuperStation.com on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. I'm giving you the chance here to be an American. What do you got, Royals, Orioles?
Royals.
How many?
7.
Ooh, that would be a lot of pressure to Royals in Baltimore to win the 7th game, so I'm going to say 6. It'd be beautiful to win at home, but it's man, 4-1. That's just tough. That's tough at this level. I'm going to hope that the Royals win.
I just want to go to 7 games.
You just want as much baseball.
Playoff baseball is the best.
Hey, you know, there's something else. We were talking a lot of Hastings stuff, and then I want you to talk a little Huskers because you're a Notre Dame fan. But I know you're interested in this. Tom Little, sophomore from Elm Creek, 4th in the tie-down roping, 6th in the steer wrestling at the Hastings College Rodeo, competed in the Iowa Community College event this past weekend. Bailey Dexter from Valentine, 3rd in breakaway roping. Justin Noakes is the coach for the Bronco Rodeo team as they have their season underway as well. Nebraska Rifle, 9th this week, down from preseason 4. Should I be concerned?
No, just a little lull in the season.
You know what I said when the Nebraska Rifle team dropped from 4th to 9th in the rankings?
What'd you say?
Shoot.
That's why you're the best in the mid. That's just good timing.
That's nothing.
That's good timing right there.
So you were listening to the show.
You and Jimmy. You and Jimmy were okay. This is, I'm just going to say it, and everyone already feels that I have a communist opinion on towards things, but you can try to sprinkle as much sugar over what happened on Saturday night as you want to. It was another blown game by the Huskers. Flat out got manhandled. And if you thought you really had a chance at the end, then that just goes to show me you're drinking from the Kool-Aid, because I guaranteed he was going to throw. I guaranteed. I called my shot that he would throw it to the wrong guy before he would throw it to his guy to end the game. And so I just wanted to say for all of you who are like, I like watching the Huskers. I enjoy watching the Huskers, but they got absolutely manhandled. I mean, they are running YouTube jokes about the poor offensive lineman who was so out of whack.
Poor Jake Cotton didn't even get touched and he fell down.
Oh, man. But so I just wanted to let you know that for all of Husker Nation and everything else, and for the majority of guys they know and understand is, that game was Michigan State's inability to finish was the end result more so than the Huskers doing anything in the fourth quarter.
Amir Abdullah took a major shot. The ESPN experts poll on the Heisman watch out today, as it is every Tuesday. He got one fifth place vote. He went from fourth to eighth after that performance. Todd Gurley has went one. Dak Prescott. Again, it's one of those I want to swear on the air moments. Dak Prescott isn't even. Good God. By the way, for those of you that don't know, he's the quarterback at Mississippi State. They've got him ahead of Marcus Mariota at Oregon. Really? Really? Quit. He had a game. He had a game. Melvin Gordon is the beneficiary of Amir Abdullah's struggle last week. He's all the way up to number four. Amari Cooper. Quit. Just because you play for a team that won a game doesn't make you the best football player. Kenny Hill's not even on the list anymore. He was one or two the first 2 weeks.
Is Dak Prescott the best quarterback in the SEC? I think he is the best quarterback in the SEC, which means I think he's a candidate because that's the toughest football conference in the country. And that was the other thing I was going to take to task is I watch an SEC game and Big Ten games don't look like SEC games. And I understand there are different styles of play, but just the sheer athleticism going on in the SEC, and I hate them too. Don't get me wrong. I hate the SEC as much as anybody else, but their games are different from an athleticism standpoint. And I think that's where Dak has gotten all this, is he looks, he's doing some things from an athletic prowess standpoint that are just impressive. And I think that's where you start to get the rosy perception of, you know, and that's what's unfair to Amir, because unfortunately, Amir Abdullah has a quarterback that is zero threat, is just not a threat. And you can put 12 guys in the box. You can put 13 guys. That's what I'm sure it felt like for the Huskers with Amir trying to run.
I'm looking at Todd Gurley. I still like him as much as anybody else. Yes. And with all this jumbling, he's going to stay there unless Georgia falls.
Hey, what about Ever Golson?
But what's wrong with Nebraska, 11-1?
What's wrong with Ever Golson?
Nothing.
That's a quarterback who can make a throw late in the game. Been there, done that. Makes
Couldn't do it in
place.
The first quarter.
Hey, as long as he did it in the fourth.
Jeez. Get off it.
No, hey, I'm just saying. You know, everyone knows my allegiances towards the Fighting Irish, Notre Dame. And, hey, do I think they've played the toughest schedule in the country? And probably not yet, but they will. It's going to get there for them. So, being sixth in the country, I do have a time to gloat right now. And I am enjoying every moment of it that I possibly can amongst friends and neighbors and anybody else who knows that I'm a diehard Notre Dame fan.
You're something.
Yes.
You're something. Let's switch gears here for a little bit. As we said, when the Huskers are on a break, on a bye week, it definitely opens up the communication lines to catch up with some other sports. Basketball getting underway this week. Volleyball continues to be, they're kind of at the getting to that second half of the season, and we wanted to catch up with the head coach of the Broncos, Hastings College, Matt Buttermore, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Damon Day. Coach, good morning.
Morning.
Great to catch up with you. I mentioned it. I was about ready to get you on a couple of weeks ago, and then you guys hit the rumble bars and now have seemed to right the ship a little bit. After getting that program into the top 16 in the country there, you couldn't finish a couple of games. And I want to talk about a couple of things. What got you to that point, and then take me through the 2 weeks there where you couldn't put a win in the column, and now you've bounced back. So just kind of take me through what got you going, what happened when you couldn't get it going, and now why you're winning games again.
Well, what got us going is a lot of really good defense, and then we had a couple of point scorers that were really, you know, swinging our way out of some situations. And, you know, kind of where we stumbled was, you know, we played some good teams. You know, the conference, you know, if it's not the best in the country, it will be next year. You know, in the close games, come down to a couple points. You know, our defense wasn't as good. There's some blocking things we were working on cleaning up the last 2 weeks. And then offensively, we just didn't get some of the points that we'd kind of been getting in some of those big tournament matches we had early in the year. We have some younger players that are playing, you know, real big roles for us and, you know, maybe hit just a bit of a wall after, you know, they had a lot of pressure on them for that first month of the season. And then we kind of stumbled a little bit against Wesley, and they're a really good team, and it came down to the last swing or two. And, you know, the mind games start playing on you from there. So we've just been really trying to keep our focus small, the last week here. You know, concrete things. We know how to play. We're in good spots. We just got to make sure we're making plays to help our team win the game.
And just been announced here that your middle blocker, Emma Ashenbrenner, has been named the GPAC Player of the Week. Tell me about her week.
Yeah, she's, I mean, real efficient. She's a great athlete. We've, you know, been, I don't say waiting for her, but she's kind of been a slow starter this year. And the last 2 weeks, really, she's had some good performances. And you know, to hit 567 on the road against a good Bellevue team and then at home against a very defensive, scrappy Mount Marty team is hard to do. So we're looking forward to her continuing that here in the next week. Obviously, we got two big matches this week.
Yeah, Midland comes into your house tomorrow night, a nationally ranked program. What makes them special?
Yeah, they're real consistent. They have a senior setter, doesn't make very many mistakes, good decision maker, and she really runs that offense. She's kind of a linchpin, keeps things moving for them. You know, they play a real good defense, and then they get into really good situations and transition, and they have some nice hitters that score. They have a really good balance of a lot of experienced role players and then a couple really good young players. You know, they're just a real tough team right now.
Matt, everybody always wants to know the big picture, and we're talking with Matt Buttermore, head coach of the Hastings Bronco volleyball team. When we're talking postseason, how far you can climb up in the conference here, what does this team need to do here in the second half?
Offensively, we need to be more efficient, you know, no doubt about it. You know, we have the ability, the capability, and the athletes to do it. We just got to clean up some things offensively. You know, I think I'm real happy with our defense other than a couple of poor games. You know, we have Katie Zuha has been a rock for us. She's, you know, our leading point scorer in almost every match. She's had a couple stumbles, maybe two or three bad games in the year, but every time else she's been a rock. So if we can get one or two players going besides her in any given match, we're in great shape. So if our offense is clicking, you know, we can beat anybody in the country.
Chance, if you can get the one against Midland, it looks like a chance to really get a streak going here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we get it's kind of a comeback week. You know, we got a big one against Midland tomorrow night, and then we play three of the teams we lost to in the last 3 weeks here right away. So, you know, I know the girls are excited to get back out there. I know they felt like they left some points out on the court the last those times we played those guys, and you know, they're really looking for an opportunity to prove themselves.
Matt, how about the young girls? Are you starting to see one or two of them emerge for you here, maybe get it?
Yeah, I think Katie Flackey has really just continued to develop. She's, you know, continuing to become more mature on the court. Decision-making has improved. Her connection with the middles, you know, you saw that with Emma the last couple of weeks. She's really been able to connect with her and really get us some easy points in the middle rather than having to kind of air everything out to the pins. You know, so, you know, her development is really going to fuel our offense. So, and, you know, she's a great student athlete. She comes in the gym every day ready to work hard, ready to learn. You know, she has a high demand, a high standard of quality for herself. So, you know, I think we'll just continue to see her improve over the year.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you giving us a couple minutes here. We'll catch up again as we get closer to the postseason. And let's go get a win against a nationally ranked opponent tomorrow.
Let's do it. Appreciate the call. It's always tough to follow Tony, but I always do my best.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Talk to you later.
All right, bye, guys.
Matt Buttermore joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A keen observation there from the coach. And, folks, if you've observed that it's time to get your pivot system worked on, get them in for its winter maintenance, or it's time to just update, maybe upgrade, maybe expand your operation, now's a great time to contact T&L Irrigation, whether you want to schedule your maintenance for the off-season or take advantage of their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. It's going on right now for a limited time at T&L Irrigation. You can save up to $6,500 $10 when you buy a quarter-mile-long TNL pivot. Contact your local TNL dealer or go online to TLIRR.com. There's a reason that they have been successful for over 60 years, not only right here in our listening area, but across the United States and more than 60 countries worldwide. You'll get decades of reliability when you work with TNL. And don't forget, right now, the Harvest Special $5 per foot discount at TNL Irrigation Systems. We'll be back and wrap it up with a couple more notes after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com. Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products. Building generations, one block at a time.
More exciting high school sports action comes your way this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. On Classic Hits 98.9, tonight it's high school volleyball as Shelton welcomes in Wood River and Ravenna for a triangular at 5. Then Thursday we're in Pleasanton with Amherst and Axtell playing in a triangular at 5. Football on Friday on ESPN 1460, Blue Hill Elm Creek, Superior St. Cecilia on 1550. On 1230 KHS, Hastings High will play Adams Central. It's all coming your way this week. Doug and Natty Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go to that popper inbox. Okay, Damon. This comes from John and Kearney, by the way. Okay, Damon, if the SEC is so much better, then why did a Big Ten team beat them last year in a game? No. Put the fingers down. Come on, John. A game. It wasn't a blowout either. Yeah. The problem is you got to eat crow right now at the SEC. I just want to see if they keep beating each other up and they all have a couple of losses, does that mean they're good? It just means there's no dominant team, right? I mean, yeah, if you're going to rank them all, then hell yeah, their schedule's going to be tough. Yeah, Auburn's going to play all these ranked teams. Could you keep ranking them all? I mean, you can go back to the tape and find where we thought South Carolina was the most overrated team in the SEC. What has happened? I mean, come on. Hey, we want to congrats to our winner of the Cunningham's Journal Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge for the week, Abba Batter or Abba Butter? What's that? Butler?
Butler.
Abba Butler. All right. Abba Butler is the winner of Week 5 of the Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football Challenge, a $25 gift card to Cunningham's, and now has an entry in our Super Bowl party. And Abba Butler, check the group page on ESPN for your prize information. He rode Russell Wilson to a 5-point victory last night. Russell got it done on the ground for you there. Week 6 kicks off tomorrow or Thursday night. So don't forget, since our contest is week by week, you can still win. Simply click on the fantasy football banner on ESPNSuperstation.com. But this week's game may have some players that you want to play. The Colts. And who are they playing? Oh, that's right, the Texans. So you got Andrew Luck. You've got some wide receivers. You've got Arian Foster. Maybe you got some defense. So you might want to look into that. But find out how you can win, and good luck to you. Go to the Doug and Daddy page at ESPNSuperstation.com. Harlem Globetrotters coming back to Kearney. You can mark your calendar. It's a ways away. It'll be Friday night, April the 17th at the Viero Event Center. Coming off 41-win season and a trip to the NCAA tournament, Nebraska has released its 56-game schedule for 2015. 27 games at home, 15 games against teams that qualified for the NCAA tournament, and a Big Ten road series at Super Regional Qualifier Maryland, a 3-game home series against Texas as well for the Huskers. Here's how things start. Of course, they're always on the road, and they will be the first three weekends of the season. They'll play a series with UNLV in Las Vegas. Book your tickets now, February 13th through the 15th. Then they play a 4-game series against BYU in Peoria, Arizona. And then they'll go out to Los Angeles to play Loyola Marymount. Then the Houston College Classic, March 6th through the 8th at Minute Maid Park in Houston, Texas. They'll play A&M, Hawaii, and LSU. The home opener for the Huskers is Tuesday, March the 10th, against Northern Colorado. Florida Gulf Coast comes in as well. The Huskers, when they do get home, are going to play a ton straight from March 10th to March 31st. Nebraska has no away games. They are going to be very busy at home during the month of March. So that's what the Big Red has coming up. Northern Colorado, Florida Gulf Coast, Indiana State, Cal State, Fullerton, Texas. Those are among the non-conference games that Nebraska will have this year. And of course, with the conference expanding, you see less teams in the conference, which, I don't know, good, bad, indifferent. See how that all plays out. So that's what you got. Nebraska baseball schedule is out today. And UNK sophomore Lucas Garcias and freshman Joey Richards will battle a team from BYU Hawaii in the National Small College Championships in Sumter, South Carolina, Thursday. The team they're playing is the number one ranked team. You just heard about some of the high school volleyball that we have got going on tonight. I'll be in Shelton as Wood River and Ravenna come in for a triangular at 5 o'clock, and you'll hear that on Classic Hits 98.9. Other volleyball tonight, you have Kearney High traveling to Aurora in a Tri-Cities matchup, or in a area matchup tonight. That is a duel. Also, St. Cecilia and Centura, both state-rated, will be at Broken Bow. Adams Central's at Central Catholic. Bellevue East is at Grand Island. Grand Island Northwest will host Hastings High and Beatrice in a triangular. District golf is continuing today. Yesterday, a lot of the A and B finished up. Kearney High has qualified by finishing third in the A3 at Pioneers in Lincoln. Lincoln Southwest won it. Omaha Marion second. Kearney was third, led by Kelsey Cobb. Individually sixth, Madeline Murray was eighth. They actually shot the same score, but that's how it finished up. In Grand Island, they finished fifth, so the team didn't make it, but Faith Harris, a freshman, finished fourth individually. She makes it in. In Class B, the District 3 at York, Aurora, Northwest, and Holdridge went 1-2-3 to win it all, and Adams Central's Elise Keller made it as an individual, finishing in eighth. The Class C meets going on today at Indian Head in Grand Island, Wild Horse in Gothenburg. I shake my head. You play at a course like Wild Horse for districts, but you don't play a state tournament there at a venue like that. Class A will be at the Norfolk Country Club. Class B will be at Pioneers in Lincoln. Class C will be at Quail Run in Columbus, and the state girls golf tournament next Monday and Tuesday. And also, we've got district softball getting underway this Thursday for all the schools across the state that field those teams. Also, want to read that Pheasants Forever deal, Jeff. We've got Pheasants Forever folks that are going to be coming in on the show next week, but the Prairie Hills chapter would like to invite you to their annual youth mentor hunt. Always a grand activity. It'll be held on October 18th. Registration at 7:30. Breakfast and lunch provided. The hunt should end by 2. Each participant is also invited to the banquet that they'll hold November 8th at the Eunice Center. Participants present at the banquet will be entered in a drawing for a Nebraska lifetime hunting permit and a youth shotgun. Each of the youth receive a hat, Upland Game Vest, and will also participate in activities such as blue rock shooting, dog handling, first aid, firearm safety, firearm cleaning, and bird cleaning, and the firearms and shells are provided. For more information or to get registered, you can contact the youth chair for the Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever, Dave Connor, 440-1392 for the hunt that's coming up on October the 18th. Thanks to Matt Buttermore, Hastings College Volleyball, and our football coaches, Tony Harper, Hastings College, Daryl Morris, UNK. Tomorrow, it's a bye week, so there's no Husker lunch. We are in studio. We'll be talking with Loper Link Soccer, John Mazner of the UNK soccer team, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and we'll roll up Sean Callahan anyway to find the latest on Big Red. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!